Before seminary, I worked as the director of a large in-home care agency. It was a hard and stressful job. And at one point, that stress came to a crisis. My work felt like a weight I carried around just to prove that I could. One typical Saturday morning, I was anxiously working when my partner came to me, put her hand on my hand, looked at me in the eye, and asked, "What are you going to do to be okay?" I was working at least 70 hours a week on a low week. And the more I checked off on my to-do list, the more there seemed to be, the more ideas I came up with to fix problems, it seemed the more problems we would have. It was a heavy weight. And still, Carrie's question, "What would I do? What would I do to be okay?" caught me off guard. Yoga. I'm going to start practicing yoga. Now, I'd heard of yoga, but I'd never tried it. The idea of me doing it seemed crazy to almost anyone who knew me well. My sisters had a very good laugh at the idea. "You? Yoga? Can you even touch your toes?" I couldn't. But I said I would do it, so I had to give it a shot. I found an intro class and enrolled. The first few sessions were impossible. I felt like an alien in the class and in my own body. And then, it was maybe the third time at the end, in Shavasana, corpse pose, it all came loose. Tears of release, of relief, of grief, of joy. Tears of loss, the feelings of not being enough, of never having enough, big, wet tears, involuntary, unstoppable saving. The intro class ended, and I enrolled in a level one class once a week, which before too long became twice, and then three times. I went in the mornings before work. I attended special workshops. The body has its own kinds of habits, things it knows deep down. My body was strong, and it knew that if there was a challenging pose, my muscles could push their way there, one way or another. Strong arms for handstands, strong legs for warriors, stubborn strength for balancing and bending. By this point, not only could I touch my toes, but I could lift my legs up over my head while resting only on my hands, which, you might have guessed, became a problem. I was deep in my practice maybe a year or two after I just found the studio, feeling proud of myself, the poses I could hold, my breathing technique, the ways I could lift myself up and sustain my weight, the ways I had proven my sisters wrong when things took a turn. My right knee started to ache. I had to stop sitting cross-legged in lotus, had to modify many of the sitting poses that I had considered long mastered. Even outside of my practice, my knee and its constant pain reminded me that something wasn't right. I did everything I could think of to fix it. I saw an acupuncturist. I worked on my hip flexibility, which everyone told me was the real issue. I rested. I waited. And still, it ached. One of my teachers suggested that I try a different kind of practice for a while, Anusara yoga. Anusara means flowing with grace. Now, in my first class during handstands, I realized how my yoga practice, like my professional life before that, had gone wrong. My teacher came over to me. I was upside down, resting on my hands, feeling strong and confident, working hard, and he whispered, hand just lightly touching my shoulder so sweetly, "Gretchen, your pose needs less muscle and more love." I fell down. Crashed. Very noisy. Once I recovered from the total embarrassment of my body crashing noisily in the middle of the yoga class, I got it. Less muscle. More love. Less push. More openness. Less force. More breath. More joy. Less task. More flow. Less struggle. More grace. 2 Sundays ago, I told you the story of Jacob, who wrestled all night with an angel God man at the banks of the river Jabbok. This angel guy, you might remember, was relentless, doing everything he could to get Jacob to let go. He kicked him hard and dislocated Jacob's hip, causing permanent injury, and still Jacob kept wrestling, demanding a blessing. When I told this story, I said, when it comes to responding to loss or grief, let's be sure to wrestle long enough in the hard places to allow for deep change and transformation, the blessing to come. I said, let's companion each other along the riverbanks of our mutual heartbreak and longing. Tell these stories, for they are the tales of what we have most cared about, of the ways our hearts have opened and loved and lost and survived. I said, let's hold on for the blessing. But today, I want to talk about the other side of the story. I want to acknowledge that there is a point, a line, where holding on becomes a problem. A point where the wrestling causes not goodness, but simply injury. Where holding on by will and by force does not bring the blessing, but actually prevents it. Or at least prevents you from experiencing the blessing. A point where when you and those you love, the world and its wholeness, would actually be a lot better off if you let go, if you gave up, stopped insisting on staying until you and others were injured, if you asked for help, if you received help. I mean, how hard-headed must Jacob have been? Foolish, unnecessary. His family was already across. What was he trying to prove? That he was in charge? That he could muscle his way through? That he could win? Most of the reasons that any of us end up in unnecessary wrestling matches come down to this kind of muscle over love. We wrestle as a way to control and limit and push and direct. We stay in the struggle because others can't or won't stand in our place. We're pretty sure, not that we'd ask them. We wouldn't want to have our hearts broken if they didn't show up. We wrestle because we feel responsible for the plan, for people, for everything. We wrestle because we cannot abide the messier parts of life, the transitions, the between time, the grief, the heartache. And when we're really deep in it, we wrestle because there's one way. It's my way, and I can get us there if we just keep wrestling. Not that I know anything about that. To say it's hard to realize when the hanging on will bring the blessing and when the blessing requires letting go is a profound understatement. I mean, who knows? My small and recent insight is that discerning the difference begins by taking a hard look at what's behind our holding on or letting go and recognizing when we're wanting to control, when we're acting out of fear, or when we're overusing our muscles to the point of injury. Because although love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things. It turns out it doesn't control all things. Love doesn't control. Should have been on the list, I think. When we are wrestling to maintain control, it's probably time to step back and let go. And as some would say, let God. And when we are letting go because we hope we can control the otherwise messy, scary feelings of grief or loss, it's probably time to hang on and hang in a little longer. As one example of this discernment of letting go or holding on, I offer parenting. Children are such a good lesson in realizing how little control we have, right? Which hasn't exactly prevented me from wrestling as if I was in charge of everything, as if I could win everything. My children respond to my wrestling attempts with their strong muscles and wrestle right back. And then we all just end up injured with no blessing in sight. But when instead of hanging on, I breathe and listen and refuse to wrestle, make room for love and grace, there's more blessing than I could have ever predicted. As another example, marriage. And despite being kind of a newlywed, I'm at the age where many of my close friends aren't dealing with the beginning of a relationship, but the end. It's torture to watch your friends flounder in the depths of holding on to a relationship after it has, in fact, ended. I hear stories today about people being too willing to give up on marriage, but that is not what I've seen. I've seen fierce commitment, trying against all odds to wrestle the life out of the ashes. And in the wrestling, I've seen despair and mutual injury, shame, blame, hopelessness. In these moments, I've prayed for my friends. Not that they'd stick with it, but that they'd give up, that they'd let go. I don't pray that the relationship should be undone, no, of course, but that they will see that the relationship as they have understood it is already gone. And only by releasing that relationship they thought they were working on, releasing themselves from working on that, can anything else, anything at all, happen? The possibilities are endless once the space is made, once they let go and stop fighting. Our faith says that truth is ever unfolding, which means life is at work on life all the time. And something new is being built beyond our wildest imaginations if we just make space for such sweet possibility, space to see and to partner with such new possibility, if we can just release less muscle, more love. Ever since that yoga class over a decade ago now, that phrase has been a mantra of my life. It actually could probably be traced back to the roots of what sent me to seminary. Less muscle, more love. And still, so often, I forget and fail and have to start again. Because, like many of us, I was raised to believe that life is not at work on life, but rather that if anything is going to happen, I have to make it happen. Life depends upon it. It may take collaboration with others, okay, sure, but with persistent hard work, as we sang last week, we will build a land where the captives go free. We will build that land where we bind up the broken. We will. if we just work hard enough, stay in the struggle long enough, we can make the blessing happen. We will. I will. These first couple months of our interim time, I've run into this temptation for too much muscle more than once. The temptation to control what is not controllable, to hold on when the time is right for letting go, or to carry the struggle all on my own, to send y'all ahead, I'll catch up, to try to fix stuff in ways that prevent the blessing of others showing up and helping out, the blessing of a new thing from taking shape. But this interim time, it's a time of intentional chaos. Control is not the point. It's supposed to feel unsettling. It's supposed to feel uncomfortable. I knew this. We knew this going in. And still, it is hard not to wish for stability. Hard not to believe that we should just stay put on this side of the river. Hard not to hang on to even those things we haven't liked all that much, our heartburn, because it's ours and it tells us who we are. And it is hard not to use our muscles just to hang on and hang on and just hang on. But there's no blessing there. There's no blessing there. The blessing is in the release. It's in the breathing, the trusting, and the letting go. It's in the love. I love this church. I love you. I love the current you, and I love the future you, and I love our future. I love the vision that's calling to us out on the other side of the river, out beyond the wrestling, out where we have a new name. It's not my vision, and it's not yours either. And none of us control it, because that would make it so much smaller than it actually is. It's love's vision. The same love and life that brought us this far is still doing its work on this church, still doing its work on this faith, this community, our hearts, out beyond our control, our will, our ideas or analysis, our hopes or our fears, our bodies, our brains. Love is creating, sustaining, transforming, healing, and calling us. Life is at work on life all the time. And we just have to let it in. Let go and let it in. In our church, our hearts, our lives, our world. Less muscle, more love. We'll forget. I know I'll forget. That's okay. We just try again. Hanging on in the struggle long enough for the blessing to come. And then surrendering to the gifts of grace that await our letting go. With our hearts open through it all, awaiting the blessing. Mm-hmm.